Welcome back inside the WAER studios. This is the Double Overtime. Jarrett Lee, Zach Maul, continuing to talk about Syracuse's 77-53 win over the Western Michigan Broncos in the round of 64 in the 2014 NCAA tournament. We'll continue to take your calls at 315-443-2011 up until 7 o'clock. But right now, we are pleased to be joined by our reporter, Matt Appel, who was at the game today in Buffalo watching Syracuse's dominating performance over the Broncos. Now, Matt, the big story in today's ballgame, Trevor Cooney getting his shot back in a big-time way. What did Coach Boeheim or Trevor Cooney have to say about Trevor Cooney's big-time performance?
Well, first off, guys, I want to thank you both for playing Bruce Springsteen coming out of break to get me extra fired up and excited for my report. But going back to your original question, I guess, about Trevor Cooney, Cooney was asked about his confidence, of course. That's the buzzword for guys like him that are three-point specialists, is the confidence. He said during his slump towards the end of the regular season, really all of ACC play save the Notre Dame game, that his confidence was never really down. It's just about getting the shots, having them fall. So he didn't come out and say, hey, I felt a lot better today. He just said the shots fell. And when he makes those shots, he said that it gives him the ability to spread the floor, which we saw at Syracuse. As a whole, played very efficient as a team today offensively, shooting 50%. As for what Coach Boeheim had to say about Trevor Cooney, someone asked him, was this a different Trevor Cooney than you had seen at the end of the regular season? And Boeheim said, no, it's the same guy as he's always. But of course, and anyone who's even watched a second of any SU game could tell you this, the team is a different squad when Trevor Cooney's making threes. He's a big difference maker. That's the term Boeheim used. And in terms of what made Trevor Cooney knock down more threes than he's been hitting recently, Coach Boeheim thought that the team screened better. And we all know how lethal Trevor Cooney can be shooting threes coming off a screen.
Now, the one thing is we had to balance this out knowing that it is Western Michigan. Was that brought up at all?
No. I think even if it was, you would never catch anyone saying, oh, well, no, this game doesn't really count because they're playing Western Michigan. Syracuse has lost to worse teams in Western Michigan in the tournament before. So, right, this is a 3 versus a 14. Syracuse should have won this game by the margin they did in 24 points. But the way SU had been playing recently, guys, you both know this, would it really have shocked anyone if Syracuse came out and played flat? Of course not. So a win is a win is a win in the tournament. Syracuse lets us see another day. No talk about, you know, what this means that they only beat Western Michigan.
Joined by our reporter Matt Appel here on the Double Overtime, continuing to talk about Syracuse's 77-53 win over the Western Michigan Broncos in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Now, Matt, Tyler Ennis, a very efficient game for him today. 7 of 11 from the field, 16 points, 6 assists. I'm sure it's very nice having a big-time point guard, especially the most important time of year in the NCAA tournament.
Well, it's amazing. A freshman point guard, and we've used this word poised to death with Tyler Ennis this year, but to have a guy in his first March Madness game come out and play the way he did, especially in that first half. He had 11 points and 5 assists in that first half, finished with 16 and 6. And in the post game, Coach Boeheim said that Ennis has been and is still the key guy on this team. That this team pretty much goes as Tyler Ennis goes. He can lead them in the right direction they need to. Ennis after the game was his usual stoic self, didn't praise himself too much or said he does what he does, game by game, possession by possession. It's the job done. And, you know, 16-6, you can't argue with that. He played phenomenally and looked really good shooting the ball as well, too, which obviously has been an up-and-down thing for him this year. So good things for him. And, you know, when the backcourt is playing like they are, you know, in non-conference play, when this team looked unbeatable, every double that we opened, guys, led with Ennis and Cooney, the combination of the backcourt, and that's what you saw today, and that's great news for SU as they try to get hot again and advance farther in this tournament than most people thought they would.
Matt, we know that Tyler Ennis is not an efficient shooter when he has to take 15 or 20 shots, but he got 11 today and scored 16 points. How much did he attribute to Trevor Cooney knocking down threes?
Well, he did not touch on that at all, but, you know, like I said, the number one thing that, you know, when it came up in the postgame about Trevor Cooney, not only is, A, when he's hitting shots, it's his point total increasing, but it gives much, much better looks to the other guys on this team. Even Coach Hawkins, the coach of Western Michigan, said that this team is his words exactly were, this team was ranked number one for a lot of the year, and they looked at today, because when Cooney is making shots and you have to double him or at least spend more time on him, it does not take a basketball wizard to know this. It opens up shots for other guys, and Syracuse took mostly really good, mostly really open shots today. There's a reason they shot 50%, pretty much 50% from the field as a whole, and they scored 77 points, their biggest total in a while. So when Trevor Cooney's making threes or making shots just generally, it opens up so many better looks for other players on this team, and that can only mean good things for the Orange moving forward.
Matt, speaking of other players on this team, Jeremy Grant, some monster dunks in this ball game. And now, when you have a guy like Tyler Ennis who's playing really well, team's got to look at him. What did Jeremy Grant have to say about his performance? Really a big-time game for him today.
Well, I asked Coach Boeheim about that. I said, Coach Boeheim, when Jeremy, there's a five-minute stretch in this game that he just absolutely took over the ball game. That's when he had that monstrous dunk, had about 4 or 6 free throws made and a couple rebounds. I asked Coach Boeheim, I said, how much of a better team does that make you when Grant is playing at that level? And he said, well, Jeremy's a very, very good player. He's a beneficiary, just like everyone else on the team is, of better offensive looks when Trevor Cooney is making threes. And in regards to that one dunk, the one dunk that should definitely be a top-10 play later tonight, he dunked the ball so hard through the rim, I honestly did not know if it went in or not. That's how hard he dunked it. Certainly one of the, if not the best dunk we've seen from Jeremy this year, and that says a lot. He's had some absolute posterizations of opposing players. But, you know, Jeremy Grant, people forget, right, Syracuse lost 5 games on the stretch. They did not look good in any of those 5 losses, save the Duke game. But Jeremy Grant was not 100% for most of that time. So I think people, and I think that's a big thing that gave Syracuse a 3 seed instead of a 4 seed, was that the people that were selecting the brackets knew that Syracuse probably played a little bit down because Jeremy Grant was not there. You saw today what a healthy, active, aggressive Jeremy Grant means to the Syracuse team.
So with that, who's most important, Grant, Ennis, or Cooney?
Are you asking my opinion, or what do you think Coach Boeheim thinks?
We'll say both.
Okay, I think it's still Tyler Ennis. I think, you know, you get into, I think Ennis is the most important. I think Cooney is the X factor. Ennis is the guy. Syracuse has won games this year where Ennis has played poorly. But I still cannot imagine, because the games are only going to get tougher. I saw Dayton today, and I'm sure you guys watched Dayton as well. That team can play. That team can play defense. I can't imagine a scenario in which Tyler Ennis has a bad game and Syracuse advances in this tournament. I could see a scenario in which Jeremy Grant doesn't have 16-8, but the Orange still win. You know, Cooney is a guy that four three-pointers made today. That will probably need to continue, even though recent history would say maybe it can't. If he can stay at that level, anyway, I think Ennis is still the number one guy in this team. He controls the floor as well as any point guard that has come in through this program in the last 10 to 15 years. So I think it's Ennis, and Coach Boeheim said Ennis is still the key guy. So it seems like, you know, great minds think alike. It sounds like me and Coach Boeheim are on the same wavelength.
Matt Appel joins us here on the Double Overtime. Now, Matt, while we've talked all about the offense, and rightfully so, because it's been an issue for this team for the past couple of weeks, except for today's ball game, the defense goes a really long way, especially in the tournament with teams unfamiliar with the 2-3 zone. What was said about the way the defense played in today's game?
You know, obviously people have tried this, but there's no real way to keep the time of possession stat in basketball. But if they did in the first half, Syracuse had the ball for easily 14 minutes, at least, because of the turnovers. Coach Boeheim came out, but for his first thoughts in his post-game press conference were he thought the defense played spectacularly today. Can you really disagree with him? 11 turnovers in that first half. Syracuse winds up with 19 points off turnovers, only 5 for Western Michigan. So most of the difference in this game came from points off turnovers. Syracuse actually winds up with only 1 fewer turnover, but Coach Boeheim thought in that first half, the defensive rotations were as strong as they had been all year. You saw a lot of times of the first 10 turnovers Syracuse forced, 9 of them were steals. Coach Bam said, great job by guys in the backcourt, Ennis and Cooney, jumping out of one of those passes that could easily be picked off and sent the other way for an easy basket. So, granted, the defense was never really the problem with this team. It wasn't like Syracuse was allowing 90 points a game during this slump. But Coach Bam was impressed by the way this team came out and still remained aggressive defensively, even when they were putting a lot of points early on in this game.
Matt, I think if you wanted to critique the defense even a little bit, in the second half, Syracuse only outscored Western Michigan by 5, only got 2 turnovers from the Broncos. So did anything change, or did they just kind of take the gas off?
No, I mean, it wasn't really addressed, but I think it was somewhat obvious to tell just watching the game that they took the gas off. I mean, when you're looking in a situation where, you see guys get into games that haven't played in forever. You see B.J. Johnson get, you see Tyler Roberson get an extended look, more than he did when Jeremy Graham was out with a back injury. So I think it was pretty obvious to tell that Syracuse kind of, stepped off the gas pedal a little bit in the second half. Also, that second half was riddled with foul calls. That slows the pace down of every game. Right, obviously Syracuse played a much better first half than they did in the second half, but because we're usually accustomed to the opposite way around, it was a little relieving almost to see Syracuse pretty much put the game away by halftime and allow guys that have been playing so many minutes. Obviously, we've been talking for a month now about how many minutes Ennis, Grant, Cooney, Fair are playing. So to get them some rest, obviously they're playing in less than, 48 hours from now. So to get those guys some rest is just an added bonus.
Jarrett Lee, Zach Maul, talking with Matt Appel here on the Double Overtime. Now, Matt, you go back to last year's tournament. The first two games, Syracuse had to travel way out west, play in San Jose. They get to the Sweet 16, but a little bit of a favorable draw this time, just driving 2 hours down the road, going to Buffalo, I'm sure a sea of orange. How nice was it the fact that Syracuse got to play basically a home game today?
Well, Trevor Cooney said, because that was asked actually pretty early on, and Cooney said they figured there would be a predominantly Syracuse crowd, and I'll tell you, even for the Ohio State Dayton game, it was predominantly a Syracuse crowd. The orange outnumbered, or was at least even to all the red that was in the crowd for that first game. But it's good. It's obviously playing in front of a home crowd is going to be favorable for any team. Trevor Cooney and Coach Boeheim did say that a home crowd can go pretty quiet though sometimes if you don't get off to a good start, as we've seen it happen at the Cary Dome, especially that Georgia Tech game. So the fact that Syracuse was aggressive early, put up a lot of points early, got some stops early, really helped that home crowd. By halftime, it was an entirely Syracuse fan base in the crowd. I could count on one hand how many Western Michigan people were there after halftime.
Now, Matt,
Sorry, Jared.
No, you keep going.
No. I was out of thoughts. You can go on.
One of you guys go.
All right. And now, Matt, now Syracuse moves on to play Saturday. They play against Dayton. What were Coach Boeheim's initial impressions on the Dayton Flyers?
Well, they're not exactly initial impressions because they almost played in the Maui Invitational Finals back in what feels like 4 years ago, but it was just November. Coach Boeheim had some very impressive things to say about the Dayton team. He said that he thought they were the second best team out in Maui, which is some high praise considering that Baylor, an NCAA tournament team, was also out of Maui. So, and C.J. Fair echoed those same thoughts. It's a team that can play very, very, very good defense. And you know that Syracuse struggles to score sometimes, but relies on that defense. So, it's an 11 seed, but they played very well today. I can tell you from a firsthand perspective that they really limited what Ohio State could do offensively, which we know is not much to begin with. But Coach Boeheim and C.J. Fair and Tyler Ennis seemed very leery of what Dayton can bring to this team. Obviously, we don't know what time that game will be Saturday, but it's going to be a tough matchup. Anyone who is thinking that Ohio State was a worse draw for Syracuse, that may be true, but the thing is now Dayton's a hot team, so Syracuse might very well have its hands full come Saturday.
Talking with Matt Appel here on the Double Overtime. Now, Matt, before we let you go, our favorite part of the report, any interesting news, notes, or nuggets you got out of Buffalo today?
Well, just that it really was a home game for Syracuse, and obviously that was expected with the home crowd and Buffalo being so close to Syracuse. But even during the second half, they showed a tribute video to Carmelo Anthony, something that you would see in the second half of the game at the Carrier Dome. So that was one thing that Syracuse just really owned the First Niagara Center tonight. Another thing, it's been well documented. I'm not exactly breaking news here, but it really has been a Big East reunion here in Buffalo this weekend. Obviously, coming up at 7 o'clock is UConn St. Joe's, so UConn, one of Syracuse's most hated rivals over the years, and then 2.5 hours after that, we have Villanova. So teams getting very familiar with each other, getting reacquainted here in Buffalo. And it's funny, you know, Syracuse and all these teams can go to whatever conference they want to with realignment, but you always get the feeling that something is going to draw the Big East teams together in the end.
That is our reporter, Matt Appel, giving us great stuff as always. Matt, thanks a lot for the time. We'll talk to you on Saturday.
All right, boys. Take care.